Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
We come to church at the appointed time. We walk in carrying all of our baggage. We sing the songs we're supposed to sing. We stand when we're supposed to. We sit when we're supposed to. We pray when we're supposed to. And we go home carrying the same old fears and the same old failures and the same old baggage. And nothing has changed except the fact that we came to church.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his heart, will flow a river of water. You see, Jesus understood something that these people were missing. This was the climax to this whole celebration. But what Jesus saw was he realized, he knew that all these people were so caught up in the ritual and the religion. But when this was over, they were going back to their houses with the same old hurts and the same old fears and the same old failures that they came there with. They were going back the same way they came. And I don't know you people, but here's what I know about most churches I go into. Most of us are the same way. We come to church at the appointed time. We walk in carrying all of our baggage. We sing the songs we're supposed to sing. We stand when we're supposed to. We sit when we're supposed to. We pray when we're supposed to. And we go home carrying the same old fears and the same old failures and the same old baggage. And nothing has changed except the fact that we came to church. Folks, that is the very definition of religion. And I don't know a word in the English language I hate worse than that. I have zero use for religion. Zero use for religion. You see, I believe this. The average Christian in our churches is saved, but they're not all that excited about it. And the problem with most of us who sit in our churches is that just that very, the average Christian is just that. He's average. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says I'm supposed to be average. You know what's wrong with us? We went to Calvary for our salvation, but we forgot to go to Pentecost for the power. And we talk a lot about the cross and getting saved, but most of us are sitting on first base. We've never gotten past first base. And I hope tonight when this is over, not because of anything I'll say, but because of what Jesus is going to give us, I hope somebody in this place will decide to get away from Calvary and get to Pentecost and come away with what Jesus is talking about. Maybe somebody will come and drink. Maybe somebody will take advantage of what the Lord has. You see, he said, out of you, I'll put a river in you. So the title of the message is Learn to Go with the Flow. Because that's what he wants us to do. Jesus is going to tell us four things tonight. Out of four verbs in this passage, we're going to look at the word thirst. Come, drink, and flow. And he's going to teach us how to get off the mediocrity and get into the flow of what he has for us. So where does it start? Jesus stood up that day and the first thing out of his mouth is, if anyone thirsts. Thirst. See, there's got to be a desire for God before you ever know God. I don't know any of you, well, I know some of you folks, but I don't know very many of you people. But can I tell you one thing I know about every one of us, and I don't have to know you to know you this is true. You have as much of God in your life as you want. That's true for us all. You've got as much of God in your life as you want. Because God is more than willing to fill you to overflowing. But a lot of us run around here talking about we're running on empty. Well, can I tell you, I don't find any cure in the Bible for being empty. But I find a cure for being thirsty. There's a difference. My truck sometimes gets empty, but it ain't never got thirsty. There's a difference. And Jesus didn't say, come to me if you're empty. He said, come to me if you're thirsty, if you thirst. And that thirst is a hard thing for us to understand. Because we live in a world where water's cheap, pure, and readily available. I mean, be honest. When's the last time you were real thirsty? About the last time. It was probably about the last time I was hungry. Don't laugh. I'll come in at the end of the day and I'll tell Judy, you need to get supper on the table. I'm starving to death. Now, how can you be starving to death when you got this? I ain't never been starving. Come on, you. Some of you can say amen. Some of you just say, oh, me. But that's just the way it is. We ain't never been hungry. And we've never really been thirsty. So when it comes to thirst, we don't understand. Every once in a while, my mouth gets a little dry, and I have to go hunting for water, but I can find it real quick. All I got to do is turn on a spout somewhere, and there it is. But there are certain people who live in certain parts of the world where thirst is a danger. You see, thirst, when you understand what Jesus is talking about, he's not talking about getting a little cotton mouth. He's talking about reaching that point of desperation where if you don't find some water, this is fixing to be over. David talked about it in Psalm 42 when he said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you. Peyton, when's the last time, church, let's be honest, when we were so thirsty for God, we were willing to do whatever's necessary to quench that thirst. When we were so tired of being thirsty, when we were so tired of being dry, that we were willing to do what's necessary to be filled. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. Here's the problem, let's be honest. Nobody's thirsty. Nobody's thirsty anymore. And you know why we're not thirsty? You say, man, you're being negative. Well, sometimes you got to be negative before you can get to the positive. You know why we're not thirsty? Because we're full of the world's water. I don't feel any need to drink from Jesus because I'm full of the world's water already. I'm drinking at the stagnant fountains of the world. What do I mean by that? You ask the average person, and I'm sorry to say, but the average person usually sitting in our churches, what do they consider to be the goal of life? And they'll tell you two words. I want to be healthy, and I want to be happy. Can I tell you, neither one of them are high enough goals to spend your time on. Healthy is out of your control. Happy is highly overrated. I know a lot of mamas and daddies wasting their time saying they got to make their kids happy. All they want to do, just make sure their children are happy. Well, you go ahead and release them brats on the world. Happy's not the goal. People come into my office when I was a pastor and they'd say, I'm leaving my wife or I'm leaving my husband because they don't make me happy. Well, get over it, buddy, and grow up a little bit. When did being happy become the goal of life? I don't read about it in the Bible. You see, because healthy and happy, you can do both of those without Jesus. There's people in this world extremely healthy who don't know anything about Jesus. There's people in this world who think they're very happy and they don't know anything about Jesus. And if you can be healthy without Jesus, you won't come to Jesus. And if you can be happy without Jesus, you don't see any need in coming to church or having anything to do with Jesus. But let me ask you a question. It's not about healthy. I don't get thirsty for happy. I need to be thirsty for holy. Where's holy come from? Please understand, God's not concerned about your happiness. He didn't come here to put a grin on your face. He came here to make us holy. He came here to make us set apart and different, making our decisions on a different level, living our lives on a level that the world does not understand. And Jesus said, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're tired of the way it is, if you're tired of being average, if you're tired of coming to church every Sunday and going home the same way as you came in, get thirsty. There's got to be a desire. Second of all, the word is, come to me. He said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. You say, you're not telling us anything new. No, I'm not. Jesus was preaching this message over 2,000 years ago. Yeah. But we just slow to learn, let's be honest. Come on. Jesus said, come to me. You see, if you want to experience the presence of God, you can. If you want to know the power of God, you can. If you want to learn the extraordinariness, if that's a word, of a relationship with the King of Kings, you can know that. But you do it by coming to Jesus. Amen. Don't you hate it when God has simple answers for your complex problems? I remember a time when that would be frustrating to me as all get out. When something happens in life and you become very afraid, and you go to God for an answer and you say, what do I do? I'm afraid. And he says, quit. Are you worried? Anybody ever done that? Been so worried, just lay up in your bed at night, can't sleep. And you go to God and say, what do I do about this? And he says, stop. That's his answer. Stop. Don't. Stop it. Quit. And I go, but God, you've never been. Quit. And he won't change his answer for nothing. He's got simple answers. And so we sit in our churches and we have all these seminars and conferences and read books and manuals on how to get in the presence of God and how to find the power of God. And the Bible says the answer is easy. Give up the control and come to Jesus. But see, we don't like that, do we? Let's be honest, especially about half of us in this room who are Southern men. We don't like being out of control. And sometimes when it's convenient in church, we like to appear out of control, and we usually know that that's when we're in the most control. But the Lord says, if you want me, you got to resign. You got to give it up. You got to lay it down. What is it? You know what it is. It's everything. You can't hold your family together? Give it up. You can't keep the job where it's supposed to be? Give it up. You can't do anything for yourself or your children? Give it up. Come to, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. He's the only answer. If you're sitting here today and you need salvation, there is salvation in no other name than Jesus. And if you're in this room today, like a lot of us, we're saved, and some of us have been saved a long time, but we've been sitting on high center forever. And if you're tired of that, the same thing that got you in this relationship with God will lead you to the next level of relationship. You don't need a new thing. You just need to use the old thing you've had around for a while. Give it up. Come to Jesus. You see, here's a major fallacy. Stay with me. Here's a little theology. Some people think that the way to Jesus is holiness. You may not have said this out loud, but here's what a lot of people think. And see, to them, holiness is an equation. Holiness is service plus sacrifice equals holiness. Now, there's a lot of churches teaching that. I heard it on the radio this week. So break it down for us so we understand. What most people believe is, if I can do enough for God and give enough to God, He'll be happy with me and give me what I need and what I want. And we may never say that out loud, but isn't that what most of us do? We get in a tight and we need God, and what do? We start doing and giving. We show up to church on Sunday night. Ain't been there in 900 years. But all of a sudden, we're there because we got to do and give. Lord, if you'll just take care of my sick baby, I'll tithe from now on. Well, you ain't been tithing, and the church is still here. The kingdom ain't gone broke because you've been holding out. See, it doesn't have anything to do with what we do and what we're given, because holiness is not that equation. It's not about service plus sacrifice equals holiness. You see, the way to Jesus is not holiness. The way to holiness is Jesus. He won't let you do anything. You see, that's why most of us have trouble getting in this relationship, because we want to do something. We want to be able to do something. And he says, no, I've done it all. All you do is appropriate what I've done by faith. And that's too easy. We don't like that. I don't like being given gifts for no reason. Do you? Makes me uncomfortable. Somebody come up and just hand me something, say, here, because I love you. Oh, man, you know why? Because now I feel like I got to do something for you. Now, if it's my birthday or something, bring them. That I understand. But out of nowhere? But see, that's what grace does for us and to us. See, if you can do something to earn it, it's not grace. Think of it this way. I try to come up with these sayings to help us nail it down in our minds. Holiness is not the root of a relationship with God. Holiness is the fruit of a relationship with God.
That's good.
And God, he says, come to me. So it has to be a desire that becomes devotion. And then there has to be a decision. Jesus said, let him come to me and now, folks, stay with me. This is where most of us miss it. Right here. This is where we stop. We come to the fountain. We hear the water. And then we go home. We hear it flowing. We smell it. And then we go home. Here's a truth you can take to the bank. God will lead you to the trough, but he won't make you drink. You know what he's been doing for the last 2 days at First Baptist Church Genoa? He's been leading you to the trough. He's been saying, look, I've got something you need. I have exactly what you need. And I've heard you talk about transition and let's move. Well, it's not difficult. In fact, it's so simple, we try to make it hard.
Yeah, right.
He says, if you want it, drink. Stick your head in the fountain and drink. Salvation. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit is provided to us. I believe that. The moment every one of us in this room got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our lives. But can I tell you something? He may be in you, but that doesn't mean he's working through you, because that doesn't automatically happen.
That's right. 100%.
That happens when you and I move out of Calvary and start moving toward Pentecost, get on our faces before God and say, flip the switch, turn the button, utilize me, work through me, fill me, is what the Bible calls it. So many churches call it a second blessing. I don't believe in the second blessing, but I understand it, because most of us are so dry that when the Holy Spirit finally does pick on us and get in through us and start working through us, we think we've been blessed all over again. When it ought to be what we're experiencing on a daily basis. Jesus said, you got to drink. You can't just come here and talk about it. You can't just come here and sing about it. The reason you're going home the same way you came in is because you heard the truth, but you didn't drink. What's wrong in our churches is that nobody's broken anymore. We have altar calls and the same few people come. See, another thing I know about all us in this room is ain't any of us nowhere close to what we ought to be. I hear people say all the time, I'm sick of it. Well, I'm not what I used to be. Well, since when did that become the standard? You ought to have known me back then. Quit parading your sin in front of the world. We spend all our time advertising what we used to be. Who cares? People come up and give testimony, and all they talk about is what they used to be. And I come out of churches where we're big in addiction problems and stuff like that, and I hear these people, and all they send them talk about is all their drugs and all their alcohol. Get over it. It's gone. It's done if you're saved. We can all sum it up in one phrase: I was a sinner, but no longer. But no longer. And we have to make that decision saved or unsaved, in this building tonight, walk away with Jesus the same way. If you don't know him and you're unsaved, that means that you've got to drink. You got to make that decision for yourself. And if you don't, you leave lost. You can hear the truth, agree with the truth, and leave lost. And to those of us who are saved in this building and are tired of being average and want to be more, you can hear that truth I'm preaching tonight. You can shake your head and agree and say amen. But if you don't drink, you'll walk out of here just like you did last year and the year before that. And the year before that. There's a country boy and he came to town. I love seeing country people come to town because I is one. He was thirsty and he had heard about water fountains, but he ain't never seen one. And he saw this water fountain, and he was thirsty, and he couldn't make it work. He looked for buttons. He banged on the side. He did everything he could do, and it wouldn't work. He was getting aggravated, and finally he just got frustrated. He turned around to walk off, and a guy pointed and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Look at the sign." And there was a sign right over the water fountain that said, "Stoop and drink." See, it had one of them electronic eyes, and you had to get low enough, and it came on. And he was about to leave, thinking there's something wrong with the fountain. There's nothing wrong with this fountain.
Amen.
People say, "I need to go to another church because I don't feel it there." It's not the fountain. "I need to find another preacher because he doesn't do it right." It's not the fountain. I don't care what church it is and what sermon's being preached and what song's being sung. There's truth in there that can revolutionize your life. But until you stoop and drink, you'll blame the fountain. And there's nothing wrong with the fountain.
Amen.
Necessary understanding. We're saved the same way we're filled. And I say this to you, and I got to hurry up, sit down and be quiet. So many of us mistake a feeling for the filling. Now, I could preach right here, but I'm not going to do it. Charles Spurgeon is a man I love to read about. Considered the greatest preacher since Paul. He started preaching when he was 19 years old, but he had no power. And he was at a meeting one night, and they were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord convicted him that being saved was not enough. That if he wanted to effectively minister, he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he came down to the altar. And Spurgeon tells in one of his biographies that he broke himself before the Lord. And he asked for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when he stood back up, the preacher of that church stood beside him and says, "Charles, how do you feel?" And Spurgeon responded, "I didn't come here for a feeling. I came here for a filling." So many of us think we got to feel a certain thing.
Yeah.
And if we don't feel it a certain way, like Brother so-and-so did. You see, my relationship with God is individual. Amen. And it tells me to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And I may not feel a thing. It's not a matter of what I feel. It's a matter of me getting broken before the Lord and say, "Fill me today." And that feeling, think of it this way. I'm just asking him to use me. To his full capacity, not mine, his. And he steps in and fills me. And see, when he does, then in the last place, there's a whole new dynamic in my life. Jesus said, "Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." Oh, my goodness. Would you agree with me that a lot of times there's a big difference in what the Bible says I am and what I know I'm doing? I read stuff like, "You're more than a conqueror." And heaven forbid, I sure feel defeated. I read things about this victory, abundant life. And I think, man, there's a lot of words I might use to describe today, but abundant would barely make the list.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, out of my heart, when I come and drink. We used to sing a song a long time ago when we sang out of the hymnals all the time. And it said, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand. Cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. And I can remember singing that song and just getting all happy. And then this week I was thinking, for some reason I was preparing the sermon, that song jumped out at me, and the Lord said, why'd you ever sing that nonsense? And I said, I don't understand. And he said, what are you doing standing on Jordan's stormy banks, casting your wishful eye to the Canaan land where your possessions lie? He said, I didn't call you to stand here and look. I called you to move in and live. And why should we be celebrating, casting wishful eyes at what we're supposed to be living in every moment of every day? Jesus didn't call us to be sponges. He called us to be springs of living water. He didn't call us to soak up blessings. He called us to spread the truth to everybody. He didn't say become reservoirs of my glory. He said to become rivers. Rivers out of your heart. Rivers, not drips, not drops, not spurts, floods. You see, the Spirit in us is big enough to not only raise us to levels we've never been to before, but to splash over on people all around us who need a little blessing, and we ought to have more than we can use. I'm about through. You know the Dead Sea over in Israel, it's dead for a reason. Everything flows in and nothing flows out. And there's a lot of people in our churches say, I'm just dead and dried up. Could it be that you come to church every Sunday and all you're doing is taking in and nothing's going out? You see, we've got the wrong concept about this filling and the power of the Holy Spirit. We think that if I get filled with the Spirit, then I can become a great preacher or teacher.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.